The Fountain Overflows, an autobiographical novel by Rebecca West, dramatized in 3 episodes by Joan O'Connor. The Fountain Overflows, Episode 1.
All this happened in my childhood, more than 50 years ago. Of course, I remember back further than 50 years, but by the year when I was 10, and we went briefly to the Scottish farm, my acceptance of the oddities of our way of living and the peculiarities of our parents was beginning, I thought, to be more reasoned and mature. We'd never really considered how other people might live, and found it only natural to give all the protection we could to our parents, to our papa, who, unluckily, was first and foremost a gambler, and sadly, more away from us than with us, and to our strange, loving, anxious mamma, whose devotion to papa verged on the insane, and whom we loved deeply and worried about constantly. But if we had one stable thing in our lives, it was music. I recall playing the piano in the farmhouse sitting room on the day of our arrival there, and being aware of a pause in our parents' conversation. They couldn't have been quarrelling. Only children quarrelled. But they had fallen each into separate dreams, and I saw that it would be for us, Cordelia, Mary and me, but especially Mary and me, to manage our disordered family life as best we could.
I really am sorry about all this, Claire, my dear.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it won't matter, provided everything goes right this time. It will, Piers, won't it?
Of course it will. You don't suggest, do you, that I'm unable to make a success of editing a small suburban newspaper?
Oh, I know the paper's petty and unworthy of you, but the fact that it's Mr. Morpurgo who happened to own it is a godsend to us. How good it is of him to want to help you.
To help me yet again, yes. It's odd a man as rich as Morpurgo should own a little suburban sheep like the Love Grove Gazette, but I suppose if one accumulates a fortune, some rubbish must get mixed in with the diamonds and the nugget. All I'm afraid of, Claire, is that you are going to hate being left out here alone in the wilds.
No. No, I'll be all right. And the children will love it. Well, there's nothing better for children, or so they say, than life on a farm.
And you, Rose, you like it?
Yes, Papa. It will be more fun here than in Edinburgh. And you needn't bother about Richard Quinn liking it. He likes it wherever he is.
He's always happy. You're a happy baby, aren't you?
Put him down now, Cordelia. He's getting too big to be carried about all the while. I was telling them, Piers, how I used to spend my holidays quite near to this place when I was a child. And just think, children, isn't it strange that Papa should be going back to the very spot he used to know so well when he was little? Do try to find us a house close to the one you used to stay in, Piers.
Yes. Caroline Lodge. It was quite a small house, but charming. I suppose it would have been pulled down long ago, though.
Why? You're always so gloomy about everything, except, of course, about the future of copper mines.
Yeah.
Oh, don't frown. You mustn't mind what I say. Piers?
Mm.
I'm sorry, but I can't help being anxious. Having left the flat with all our good furniture in it, are you sure it will be safe with strangers?
Yes. I suppose the furniture is valuable.
Certainly it is. Our Australian tenants may not recognise that, but I expect they'll have some idea of its worth. Don't you think so?
Yes. Well, my dear, sadly, I've got to get back to the station. It wouldn't do for me to miss the last Edinburgh train, would it?
No. Oh, how dear it was of you to help me bring the children here when you've so much on your mind. Now, I've got your plans clear, haven't I? You'll wind up everything in Edinburgh and then travel to London to see Mr. Morpurgo.
No, I go straight to Lovegrove.
You won't see him? Not go to thank him? Surely he'll expect you to do that.
No, he says he doesn't want to see me.
Doesn't he want to see
me? Something's put him out for the moment. He says he's glad to give me the editorship, but he'd rather I dealt with one of his directors, and there's no need for us to meet. We'll let him have his way. It seems foolish to me.
But so you'll go straight to Lovegrove and settle your work, mm-hmm. and find us a house, and then you'll go to Ireland to see your uncles, and then I'll collect the furniture from the flat. Mm. Oh, it will be nice to have it with us again. And I'll come down with the children, and we'll have everything arranged and ready in the new place before the school term starts on the 1st of October. That is how it's to be, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Kiss me goodbye now. Right. By the way, how long can you stay here?
But, Piers, I told you. Yeah. I took the money the Australians gave me and paid the rent arrears and all the tradesmen's bills and worked out that with what was left, we could stay here until the first week of September and not a day longer. Not a day, Piers. Oh, surely you must remember. Aren't your plans settled? Tell me. I must know. I must.
There's nothing to know, my dear Claire. Don't worry. I must be off now. Mary, Rose, you get down my hat and stick from the hall stand. And Cordelia, open the front door. I'm late starting. Now, goodbye again, Claire. Give me another kiss. And don't fuss. Everything will go smooth as butter. Thanks, Rose. Thanks, Mary. Goodbye, children. We shall all be together again very soon. We'll have to get on a bit of a pace, driver. Give me a hand up.
Will you?
There. Start away. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye. Right to me, Piers. Right soon, even if it's only a card. Right. Goodbye.
Come on, children.
Oh, please. Let's go on watching till the trap gets to the pass.
No.
Oh, just a little longer.
No, we're going back to the parlour. I have to give Richard Quinn his milk.
Pa says the hill's behind the lock. Will stop being blue and turn purple. What does he mean?
He meant the purple heather will be in bloom, silly.
Well, how were we supposed to know? There wasn't any heather in South Africa.
Or in Edinburgh.
Well, I've been told about heather, so I know. Mama said we would go into the parlour, so hurry up and shut the doors behind you, Mary.
I shall shut the front door. But not because you told me to. Stop playing the older sister, can't you?
I am the older sister.
Only by 2 years.
Well, I'm already 13
stop
and that's...
Stop bothering children. Come in and shut the door and sit down while I get Richard Quinn his tea.
Mama, who is Mr. Morpurgo?
Yes, who is he? It's a funny name. Makes him sound like a conjurer.
He is someone we should bless all our lives. He's a very rich man, and ever since he met your papa, on a ship or somewhere, he's done everything he could for him. He gave him the position as journalist in Durban after the owners of the paper in Cape Town behaved so strangely. And now... that the Edinburgh paper in which Mr. Morpurgo had an interest has proved such a disappointment to your papa, Mr. Morpurgo has made him editor of this paper he owns in South London. He's very kind.
What does he look like?
I don't think I ever saw him. But your papa has known him a long time. He admired your papa very much. Everybody does. Except those people who are envious of him.
Why should anyone envy him? He never has any money.
They envy him his brains, his appearance. In short, they envy everything about him. And they envy, too, the way he's always right when everyone else is wrong.
Why didn't Papa go into the army? Everyone in his family in Ireland was a soldier or a soldier's wife. Papa says so.
Just as everyone in your West Highland family is a musician and always has been. And so are we musicians. Hmm. At least Mary and I are.
Me too. Aren't I, Mama? I'll be a famous violinist one day.
Not if you don't stop that awful scooping, you won't.
Don't be unkind, Rose. It's hard for Cordelia. I'm perfectly qualified to give you and Mary piano lessons, but we have to find some outside teachers for Cordelia. We certainly shan't find one here.
I'll do extra practice. 4 hours a day instead of 2.
Oh, no!
Mama,
Cordelia can practice up in your bedroom, and you and Rose will practice on the piano here in the parlour, and that's that. I'll have no unkindness and no quarrelling. Why not all run outside now and have a look round the farm and the meadows? Then we'll have an early supper and an early night. We'll soon get used to it here. Things will seem strange to you at first because you're not used to the country, but you must regard it as a holiday. And learn to understand about growing things and animals. Run along now. And be back by 6.
think it is. I can't imagine. It sounds as though someone's beating on a great drum. Cordelia.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it is?
Nothing. It can't be anything. I mean, the Weirs must hear it too, and they'd come and warn us if it was something dangerous.
You only say that because you're frightened. What if it's something that's never happened before?
Yes. Could be part of the end of the world. It's dark outside. Black dark. It's only dark because it's 3 a.m. and the world won't come to an end in our time.
Why shouldn't it? It's got to come to an end in somebody's time. So why not ours?
Go to sleep.
Can I with that drumming going on? Mary.
Yes.
Mama said there was a candle on your side of the bed. On the little table. Can you feel a candlestick?
No.
Oh, I'm sure it's there. And a matchbox too. Feel about some more.
Oh, all right.
Wouldn't seem so frightening if we had a light.
You clumsy thing. Mama.
Children. What fell? And what on earth are you doing awake at this hour?
That terrible drumming, Mama. What can it be? Listen.
Oh. Why, that's the cart horses stamping in their stalls.
The horses? Only the horses?
Yes. You hear them because the stables are on this side of the house.
Those horses we saw this afternoon. Are you sure?
Quite sure. Oh, my poor lambs. I forget you were never country children. No wonder you were frightened. They certainly make an astonishing amount of clatter. Well, you won't be afraid again now you know the cause of it. You won't notice it. They're good, peaceful animals, and you'll get to be fond of them.
We thought it might be a warning of some terrible disaster. Papa once said you could never be sure of anything in this life. And one year, the world might wake up and decide not to have a spring. And everyone will get colder and colder. And the days will get shorter and shorter. And in the end, there will be only darkness.
Papa has a great imagination. Writers do have. And Papa is a wonderful writer. But he no more meant you to be frightened by such an impossible idea than you're meant to be frightened by the stories in Andrew Lang's books of fairy tales. Now, go to sleep again. Tomorrow we'll make plans for how to fill the days while we're here. The weeks will pass quickly.
Mary?
Yes?
How many pounds do you suppose we've picked?
Oh, I don't know. Can't really tell with beans. Mrs. Weir said fill the basket, so we'd better.
Do you like Mrs. Weir any more now?
Not really. She's so sandy and bony, and she always looks as though she's not believing what you say.
I think she finds Mama silly. Mama laughs about little things, and Mrs. Weir is so grave.
Still, it's nice being on a farm, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And for the first 10 days, Mama looked so happy.
Yes, she looked younger every day, and she ate more, and she didn't stare half so much. I was afraid it was too good to last, though.
Poor Mama.
She's beginning to look ill again. She hardly eats anything, and she's as mild as milk when she gives us our piano lessons. That's always a bad sign.
What do you think's worrying her?
Papa hasn't written.
But what I can't understand is why she ever thought he would.
You mean you knew he wouldn't?
I thought that probably he wouldn't. What I just can't understand is why they never get used to one another. Mama's always surprised when Papa does things like not writing. And Papa's always surprised when Mama wants to pay bills.
Yes. And Mama minds so.
Mm.
It's extraordinary.
Mary?
Yes?
I've been wondering. What happens if Papa never writes?
You mean never?
Yes.
I think I'd die.
So would I.
How can he be so awful when we love him so?
Well, it's no good crying.
I know, but what would we do?
We could work.
Oh, so we could.
Yes.
We could go into shops or factories or offices. Or we could be servants. Mm. And between us, we could make enough money to keep Mama and Richard Quinn till he grows up.
Yes.
What's the matter?
Now that I think of it, I rather fancy there's a law that prevents people as young as us from working.
We could say we were older than we are, and Cordelia could get work easily. Well, she's quite tall, and she's so pretty. Mm.
Oh, I expect we'd manage something. And we could go on working in the evenings at the piano, and someday we would switch to being pianists, and after that, everything would be all right.
Of course. And I'm not worrying, not truly worrying. And 3 weeks isn't so long for Pa not to write.
That's enough beans now, don't you think? You could take them to the kitchen and I'll fetch the horse brasses from the stable. I'll shine them up like anything. I'll only be a few minutes. I do hope Mama isn't sitting on the mounting block and waiting for the postman.
Look, Mama, a whole great basket full.
Oh, lovely. You are good girls.
I'll put it down a moment. Move a little so I can sit beside you. Oh, Mama.
Oh, what a big hug. Oh, my hairpins are falling out.
Mama, if you're worried because Papa hasn't written, why don't you telegram to the newspaper office in Lovegrove or to his uncles and people in Ireland? He must be in one of those places.
Rose, you are a thoughtful child.
Thank you. Are things very bad? Haven't we even got the last sixpence?
Oh, yes. We have the sixpence, thank God. But you see, what I don't want is that the Weirs should know that Papa hasn't sent us a letter. They think it's strange.
Well, so it is.
But not in the way they would think it.
How would they think it?
Oh, well, in a different way from the truth. In any case, there's nothing we can do but just wait. Give him time, and he'll write. Don't tell the others you think I'm worried, will you?
Mrs. Weir is out, so I left the brasses on the table for Mr. Weir to see. Oh, Mama, don't wait any longer for the post. You know nothing nice ever happens on Tuesday. Oh, she's begun. It's awful. It isn't even like cats. Cats don't scoop.
Mary, you mustn't be so unkind about your sister. It might have been much worse for her than just being unmusical. She might have been born deaf and blind.
If she had been, she'd never have known what was wrong with her, any more than she does now. If she'd been deaf, she'd simply have gone to one of those big places you see out of train windows who'd been looked after there by people who like being kind to the deaf and blind. There are no homes for bad violinists to go to.
Homes for bad musicians? What a terrible idea! Homes for bad contraltos would be the worst.
Oh, yes.
Think of the sounds coming from them, especially when the moon was full. But your sister isn't really so bad. In fact, not bad at all sometimes. Oh, dear. I must go up and try to help her. Poor child.
As though she could help her. You can't talk a person into playing the violin well.
Oh, look, here comes Mrs. Weir with that cousin from Glasgow. Now, they'll ask us questions, so be careful.
Good morning, children.
Good morning.
Your sister's a bonny fiddler.
Yes, isn't she? And she works hard.
Again, Ginny, these two bairns are not so bad with a piano.
Hear no sin?
Oh, but they're wee yet. They spend most of the time grinding away at the exercises.
Not exercises. Bah.
Lassie, you let them play on Elspeth's piano.
They play well enough. I can't play the thing. I took lessons with Elspeth from the body who came out from Edinburgh, but my hands were they like harms. Well, well. Is your mama wearied of waiting for her letter then, Mary?
No. She went indoors to help Cordelia.
Ah, but she'll still be fretting to hear from your pa. I don't know, your ma, but I think she will look an awful worried about something.
Oh, she always worries when he's away. He's so terrible about money.
About money?
Yes, he's so absent-minded. But that's because he's a great author.
A great author, is he? Like Robbie Ben?
No, like Carlyle.
And how is he so absent-minded about money?
Oh,
People send him checks, and he forgets to pay them into the bank.
Or he doesn't open the envelopes, just slips them into his pocket, things like that.
Once he threw a big check into the waste paper basket.
How big a check?
Well, we wouldn't know. Papa and Mama never talk about money. They think it's vulgar.
Well, here's the postman at last, for Bai brings that letter. Wait there, postie. Over with you.
Oh, pretend we don't notice him. We didn't do too badly, did we?
No, considering we hadn't worked anything out first.
Look, bairns, a telegram for your ma.
Oh, is there? We'll give it to her.
It'll be from your pa. Here it is.
Thank you.
Where were you then?
A telegram. What do you say to that? When you think what a telegram costs sixpence, and a letter is only a penny.
Just got Richard Quinn to sleep.
But, Mama, Papa has sent a telegram. Look.
How do you know it's from Papa?
There isn't anyone else who'd sent us a telegram, is there?
Open it, Mama.
Oh, yes, Mama, dear. You have to open it. You're right, Cordelia. Give it to me, Rose.
Yes. It's from Papa. Oh, and children, he's found us a house. Oh. He likes the Love Grove office, but...
he's gone to Manchester to settle some important business with Mr. Langham. To Manchester.
And business with Mr. Langham? When he should be in Ireland seeing his family. How are they ever to take an interest in you children if they never see him?
Who is Mr. Langham?
He's a little man. A very little man. But your papa has found us a house. Oh, how I wish I could have taken the trouble of that off him. Now, you mustn't be disappointed if the rooms are smaller than in our Edinburgh flat. Papa has very good taste. And there are some nice houses in the London suburbs.
I wish Papa had told us more. He hasn't given us the address. How shall we know where the furniture is to be sent if we don't know the address?
He will write.
But if he doesn't...
then we'll get the address from the newspaper office. We shan't have any problem.
Have the Australians left the flat?
Yes, last Monday. I must go to Edinburgh and find a removal firm and see the furniture is all in order before it's packed. Oh, dear. To think we should be leaving Scotland so soon.
Why don't you send a telegram to Mr. Morpurgo about the house and the key to it, Mama?
Oh, no. Yet, perhaps you're right, and I should. My husband in Manchester and omitted to give me... it would seem much less strange if I could say your papa was in Tibet.
That surely would be strange. The Tibetans don't let anyone in.
Oh, send it anyway. Give it to the postman tomorrow.
Yes. I think I will. And as soon as I get a reply, I'll go to Edinburgh.
Don't you like Edinburgh anymore, Mama? I like even this dull terrace and our old brown front door.
You must forgive me, Rose. But people here were so horrid to your papa that I don't care to see the town again. Push the door open. We must go upstairs.
It still creaks.
Mrs. McKechnie?
Why, if ever Mrs. Aubrey come back. Wanting to see that everything's left tidy, are you? Come along up.
Yes, Mrs. McKechnie. And we mean to make ourselves a pot of tea in our old kitchen. We're quite tired.
Well, I'll be here all afternoon. I'm readying up the Mingy's flat for them. They're away in Rossay. If there's anything you want, just tell the bell.
Thank you, I will.
Straight into the kitchen, Rose. Dear Mrs. McKechnie, I must send her a present when we get to Love Grove. Oh, how clean they've left everything in here. They must have been nice people. These old houses are really lovely. The high rooms take all the fineness the day will give them. Put on the kettle, Rose, and get out the china. And here are the sandwiches. We'll have a nice little meal. And while you're getting it ready, I'll just go into all the rooms and see if they've kept Aunt Clara's furniture well polished.
Mama,
the matter? You're as white as chalk. You're trembling. Oh, dearest Mama, what's wrong?
What has happened doesn't really matter to us. I can't explain that to you now. In a way, it's of no consequence to us at all, although it matters more than you can imagine. Aunt Clara's furniture has gone.
Gone?
All gone. Nothing left but our old Broadwood piano, the rose-coloured carpet that came from my mother's house, your papa's books and the family portraits.
How awful! Shall I run round to the police station?
I don't think we have been burgled.
Mama, someone must have taken the things away. And in a van. Mrs. McKechnie may know about it.
Mrs. McKechnie will know. And I'm wondering how to ask her.
How to ask her?
Wait here.
Mrs. McKechnie? Mrs. McKechnie?
Aye?
Who was the man who came for the furniture?
Where was Mr. Soames from George Street?
Was it?
Aye, Mr. Soames himself. He came the very day and hour he said he would when he was here with your husband to fix the price of the stuff.
Oh, that's all right then, thank you. I thought there might have been some mistake, but my husband has managed most efficiently.
He will have sold it at a fraction of its real value. Oh, dear God. I'm getting old and ugly. But that's not it. It's simply that I cannot compete with debt and disgrace, and those are what he really loves.
Mama.
No. Don't say anything.
Have a little to eat.
No. Nothing.
Some tea. Just a cup of tea. The kettle will boil in a minute. Please.
Very well, some tea. And then we shall go back to the farm. We shall have to begin to pack. We shall have to leave for Lovegrove soon. This was a shock. I hadn't thought. But it will be all right. When we get to Lovegrove, it will be all right. I must never lose faith.
Is all London like this, Mama?
No, this is just a suburb.
Were they nice to you at the office?
No, very. They told me the house has been cleaned for us and the furniture put in place, and they've engaged us a servant. She will come today. And what's more, they're sending a van to the station to pick up our luggage.
It looked quite a small office and horribly ugly. Oh, I hope our house won't look like that. We'll be in a street with no trees.
They told me it was in the old village. And I do believe we're coming into the village now.
Have they heard anything of Papa at the office?
How could I ask?
Mary. Could this be our street?
Yes, Henrietta Street.
Oh, they're chestnut trees.
And gardens full of flowers.
And the road ends at big iron gates. Could that be a park?
This must
Mama?
Be our house. Yes, the man in the office said next to the iron gates.
It's so big.
Come on, get out, all of you.
Oh, it's beautiful. The date over the porch says 1812. It was built before Waterloo.
Seems to have a stable block. Are we to keep a carriage? Oh, this is far too big. What shall we do? All that new white paint. Who's to pay for that?
Oh, don't start worrying, Mama. The cab driver's waiting for his fare.
Take the house key. I'll settle with him and then bring Richard Quinn indoors.
Come on, I'll open. What's that? Oh, dear. got in?
Who knows, Mama? There's someone inside.
Someone? We must go and see. Let me by. The noise comes from behind that door.
Welcome, and welcome, children.
Oh, but this is wonderful. You here. But how did you get in? I was told there was only one key.
I know a dozen ways into this house. Today, I came in through the coach house roof.
It can't be. The very house where you used to stay?
Yes, this was built for my Aunt Willoughby. It belongs now to my cousin Ralph. He let me have it.
Oh. So you and Ralph are friends again?
Not noticeably, but he let me have it. No one wants to live here, surrounded by a modern slum. We shall have to pay something, of course.
And we must never be a day late with the money.
No.
Oh, Piers, it's heaven to be here and to have found you here waiting for us.
Mama, look out of the window and see the garden. It's even bigger than the one we had in Cape Town.
It's enormous.
And through an archway in the wall down there, I can see a courtyard. And a drinking fountain.
That's part of the stable yard. I'll show you where Richard Quinn and I stabled our ponies and where my other brother Barry kept his stallion. And I'll tell you such stories of our wild games with our French tutor. Our French tutor. He had a lovely singing voice and he soon realised how well Richard Quinn could sing.
Did you sing too, Papa?
No, the only tune I've ever really been sure of is The Wearing of the Green, and I never had any voice to sing it with. But Richard Quinn, he sang. I remember one day there was to be a wedding feast here in the village. The daughter of a farmer was to marry the milkman. And Richard Quinn was to sing, I know that my Redeemer lives. after the service, there was a big party in the barn with everyone eating and drinking. And Richard Quinn singing away. And there wasn't a dry eye in the whole gathering when a boy ran in, shouting. And everybody poured into the farmyard just as a streak of red flashed through it, sending the poultry into a panic, and then we heard the horn.
A horn?
The hunting horn, and the people flung the gates open, and in a moment the hounds were through, and then came the thunder of the horses' hooves getting nearer and nearer, and they were going so hard the riders couldn't turn them aside, and they streamed on down the lane instead of through the farmyard. And you should have heard the people laugh.
Why did they laugh?
Because the hunt had lost their fox and their pack, and the hunt was the gentry, you see. It served them right with a bit of ill luck for once.
Well, is that the end of the story?
Piers, is that the end?
It must be fun to be a fox.
Fun? I think hunting is hateful.
To be a fox and kill poor small creatures and, in the end, to be hunted.
That's a terrible thing to say.
They were grand days when I was a boy. And now, my brothers are dead, and here am I, a wretched, third-rate editor capable of great things. I've a notion to write a series of political articles that won't cut much ice in Lovegrove, but they may well be noted and quoted in the national press. You'll see. By the way, Claire, I'm afraid that Manchester business came to nothing.
What does it matter?
No.
I'm sorry for your sake, of course, but you have a good position here, and we have Caroline Lodge.
We shall all be together now, shan't we, Papa?
Yes.
A real proper family and a real proper home.
Yes.
Oh, let's go upstairs first. Come on, Mary. Come on, Cordelia.
Come on.
Take Richard Quinn, Cordelia. He's still fast asleep. He's been such a good boy.
He's an angel, aren't you?
Poor girls. They're experts in disillusion. This house has given them hope. Who's that? Oh, I left the front door wide open.
It's me, Mum. I'm Kate. I'm come to be your servant. Mr. Morpurgo engaged me.
Oh, you're Kate. Oh, I'm so glad to see you. We've only just arrived ourselves.
Well, I'll take off my hat and coat and put on my apron and help you get straightened. The men are at the door with your trunks, and some big cases has come from Scotland.
Ah, yes. The books and pictures. Tell them to take everything upstairs.
I will, Mum. And then I'll do the unpacking and get you some tea. I saw the three little girls looking over the banisters. They'll be wanting their tea.
I'm afraid there's nothing in the house. No food, I mean.
Oh, I'll find the shops and get you something. And I've brought a cake, my mother made.
Oh, what a splendid girl. How clever of Mr. Morpurgo to have found her.
Children, get up and dress. Kate is making us breakfast.
All right, Mama.
Mary, wake up. Mary, wake up.
Oh, I feel as if I've only just gone to sleep.
Are you awake now?
Mm.
Listen. This morning, early when it was hardly light, I heard a horse and carriage stop outside the house, and I looked out and saw Papa getting into a carriage, and he drove away.
Oh, Mary.
Papa gone? Already? And sort of secretly, too. Oh, no.
It's true. But don't tell Mama we know. It isn't going to be our dream come true after all. But we will be better off here. A better school, Mr. Morpurgo handy. All sorts of things will be better. And the piano will be arriving today. Oh, get up and I'll wake Cordelia.
Here's your cup, Rose. Mind, it's rather full. And there's the milk.
What shall we do today, Mama? Explore? Or shall we unpack the books and hang the portraits in the drawing room?
Both. You can do the books and pictures first. But I want the pictures hung upstairs.
But why? Surely they've been...
I wouldn't like people to think we're showing off, to have a real Gainsborough and a real Lawrence and Archer Shee instead of only copies. So they'll have to go upstairs.
Then can I have the Gainsborough in my bedroom?
Yes. Oh, yes. And Mary and Rose will have the other two in their room.
It seems a shame, but I suppose they would make the furniture look extra awful downstairs. What will you do, Mama?
I shall spend the morning about the house with Kate. And I shall take a train this afternoon and visit Cousin Constance and her little girl Rosamond.
Cousin?
Well, she isn't really my cousin. She married my cousin Jock. But we were like sisters as children, and I've missed her since we were both married.
I remember you used to write to her every week from Africa and used to tell us stories about her.
She hasn't answered my letters for more than a year. And I have a feeling there must be something wrong.
Where does she live?
Near Clapham Common. At least I suppose she still does. I shall go to the address and find out. Oh, I love her very much and I want tremendously to see her.
Oh, can I come with you?
Would you really like to? Wouldn't you rather explore with the others?
No.
Well, I can't imagine what we shall find. Her house is number 475.
Oh, I think this is the house. Yes, it's... Oh, heavens!
Watch out!
Oh! Oh, was that poker aimed at us?
Oh, Rose, what's going on?
Oh, Mama, look there, look there!
Oh, there!
Oh, cooking pot and food! In midair!
Through. Oh, you stay out here, Rose. I must go in.
No, no. I'll go in if you go in. I'll bring the poker.
A poker will be of little use in these conditions.
Mama, there's someone looking at us behind that net curtain.
Constance. Oh, Constance.
There. You see now why I didn't write to you. What could I say? How could I explain? Oh, what we've been through for the last 18 months.
Oh, why, Constance, as if I, of all people, wouldn't have understood you. You ought to have written to me. You should have come to live with me.
And brought this trouble with me into your house. You don't know what it's been like. The neighbours talked. Oh, you can't blame them. But we had reporters and photographers. I nearly went mad. That, apart from the inconvenience of it all, the smashing and the noise. Oh, but come in if you can bear it.
Is this Rose?
Yes, this is Rose. Come in, and I'll make you a cup of tea.
Oh, you mustn't bother.
Oh, it's no bother. I'll call Rosamond. She just went into the garden.
Rosamond!
Yes, Mama?
Come in! Here are your Aunt Claire and Cousin Rose. Oh, Claire, how glad I am you've come. I didn't want to make you share this awful thing, but I'm so glad you came. Come into the kitchen. Oh, everywhere. Oh, watch the dresser. Oh. It's starting to rock again.
Mama, there's a shower of coal falling in the back garden.
The people from Psychical Research seem to think that poor Rosamond had something to do with it. They followed her about as though she were a pickpocket. She's so lonely.
It's impossible when everyone knows there's a poltergeist here for her to make friends.
Oh, Constance. She'll have my three girls now. Rose, go into the garden and speak to Rosamond. She's down at the bottom fence by those rabbit hutches.
Do you think the coal and everything are, you know, mischievous spirits? Like the ones we read about in the books by Andrew Lang?
Yes. Yes. Exactly like.
But don't be afraid, Rose. Things do fly about and fall and break, but nothing has ever hurt us. Would you go out through the kitchen door here and bring Rosamond in? You'll be quite safe.
All right.
Oh, she's a very self-controlled child, and charming, too.
At times I can't believe she's only 10. Oh, but, oh, poor Constance. What a life you've been leading.
It's the breaking and spoiling that's so bad. It's true we've never been injured. Look at our two girls out there together. I feel that they have the same instant rapport that we had. Listen. There's nothing at the moment. No dreadful sounds.
What does Jock say to all this?
Oh, you know Jock. He accepts it, but angrily. He still insists on being nothing better than a porter at Clapham Junction and his ridiculous, exaggerated Scottish way of speaking. Such a total affectation and so pointless. The people here think he's a barbarian. He's turned himself into a sort of nobody. Well, that's what he wants to be. And all the while he might have been a fine flautist in any orchestra in Europe. Oh, it's incomprehensible.
He'll never change.
We accommodate ourselves to his peculiarities.
But you must get away often and come to visit us at Lovegrove. Oh, you'll marvel when you see our house. I'll tell you nothing till you've seen it. And you'll let Rosamond come to stay with us in the holidays, won't you? Oh, here they are. Would you like to visit us, Rosamond, and meet your other cousins and your Uncle Piers?
Yes, very much. When things are all right here.
We'll get the tea, Claire. Would you cut the loaf and I'll lay the table, if we've any plates left.
Look, Rose.
What at?
The packet of salt on the mantelpiece. It's fallen over, and the salt's trickling out and down in a spray onto the hearth.
Slower and slower and slower. Now it's stopped. It was like a kind of blessing. It was as though whatever it was that was destroying things and making you so miserable has declared peace.
That's what I feel. Mama, they've gone. Listen to the silence.
We must be the only people in London listening to nothing.
They won't come back.
I believe you're right. Oh. Tomorrow we shall clear up and never have to clear up again.
Are you sure of that, Constance?
Yes. I am sure. Oh, the sense of relief. We shall be able to sit down and have our tea in peace. Oh, that's Jock. Jock! We're in the kitchen. Come in and see who's here.
Oh, merci. If it isn't clear, we'll be honoured. And what brings you at last to Mountbatten House?
Jock, we've been away from England for years, but Constance has had my letters.
So she has. Do you still play the pianoforte?
Oh, not professionally anymore. Well, how could I? I have four children.
Aye. And that charming husband of yours, he still leads you the same old dance, eh? Well, no offence, Claire, no offence. Will he keep this job, do you reckon? I'll take a cup of milk and a wee bit bun to the sitting room and leave ye women folk to your chatter. And one day, Claire, you shall make music with your cousin Joke, who's thrown away his immortal heritage and gone into the marts of trade, but who still plays the flute better than the next man.
Oh,
I'm ashamed of him, Clara. He's so ridiculous. What can I say?
Nothing. Don't fret. We'll speak of him later.
Yes. I haven't asked you about Piers. You don't write much that's very specific in your letters, and I do read them carefully, even if I haven't answered them.
Yes. You read between the lines, I'm sure. Oh, we still lead our rather gypsy existence. The details of living vary, but the essentials are the same. A gambler is a gambler, and I knew what he was when I married him, and I love him now, as I did then. Life being full of surprises, I'm always prepared for the happy ones. I live in hope. Even the worst things come to an end. Like your poltergeist visitation.
Yes. I'll never be the same after this experience. You know, when I saw Rosamond and Rose come into the kitchen, I had a sudden conviction that we'd been freed. Now I feel quite stunned by the quiet.
Let's try to look on the whole affair as something quite ordinary that we don't understand. Constance, I'm afraid I shall have to leave soon after tea to get back to my other three. Oh, not that I worry about them. They're with Kate, our new maid. She came to us only yesterday, but already she's part of the family. Oh, when you come to us, you'll see. Oh, we're together again, Constance. I believe sisters can never really be drawn apart.
Mama.
Yes, my love.
Why did you say to Constance that you, of all people, would have understood about the poltergeists?
Well, where she and I were brought up, people were quite ready to accept what isn't easily understood, for the reason that most of us have, to some degree or other, what we call the sight. That is, we can see and hear and know what others can't. Well, of course, it doesn't take the sight to experience a poltergeist. All sorts of people are subject to them. But what I meant was that we Celts aren't easily surprised or alarmed by inexplicable happenings. Do you understand me?
Yes, I think so. Do I have the sight?
I believe you may have. Rose, if you have, there's one thing you must never forget. You must never use any knowledge which comes to you from you don't know where for gain. People who try to make money out of the sight can end in trouble, and even showing you have it isn't much like down here in England.
If being Celtic makes you have it, then does Papa have it too?
No. Though he thinks he has. Poor Papa. And he suffers a great deal as a result of it. But then, your Papa is so clever that he really only needs to rely on his own brain.
It was very horrid what was happening when we first arrived at Constance's, wasn't it?
Yes, it was very. I think it might be as well if you said nothing at home about what happened today.
But I always tell Mary everything.
Well, if you feel you must tell her, do. But it might be better if Cordelia didn't hear of it. You see, she might be worried and upset, and then when Constance and Rosamond come, she'll feel awkward. Cordelia has just as many gifts as either of you, only they're different gifts. Bear that in mind, won't you?
I won't tell Cordelia. Mama, will you keep letting her go on with the violin?
If I didn't let her play, she'd think I was standing between her and success. So she'll take lessons at school. That's to say, if there's a teacher. I mean to make an appointment to meet the headmistress, so we'll find out. Oh, I do hope she's a nice woman. Now, you go to sleep for a quarter of an hour. I'll wake you when we get to Love Grove.
kitchen. Coming.
Shall I start putting the sausages out on the plates, Kate?
Oh, wait. Wait till I beat the potatoes.
Hello, Rose. What was it like at Cousin Constance's?
Oh, she's very nice indeed. And Rosamond's very nice too. She's awfully pretty. She's got yellow curls and a dimple on one of her cheeks. She doesn't play any instruments, though.
Oh, nothing.
She says nothing.
I shall teach her to play the fiddle. What did you do?
She showed me her rabbits. She's got six of them. And we had tea. Mm-hmm. You'd like her. She reads a lot and she makes up animals. Dogs she pretends to take for walks and cats which lie about on chairs and jump up on the beds. You'd like her. Except she doesn't play the piano or anything. I expect she and Cousin Constance will come here a lot.
You'd have done better to have stayed here with us. We explored for hours, didn't we, Mary? Mm. We went everywhere. There's a grove of huge old horse chestnuts at the very bottom of the garden, and the leaves are just turning gold. The kitchen garden must have been lovely, but there are weeds as high as our heads now, like the garden in Sleeping Beauty. And then there are the stables.
Oh, you're going to love the stables, Rose. It was all strange and dim because of the dirty windows. But we could almost see and hear the horses. And I think if we went there at night, their shadows would be in their stalls. And we could think we hear them stamp and swish their tails.
Come into the table. I'm going to hand the plates round. All right. Ready, are you?
Yes.
Well, eat up, then. You'll be having blancmange with strawberry jam for after.
Mm. What about Mama?
Oh, she'll have dinner later in the dining room. I shall wait for that till your Papa comes in.
Oh, but Dad... Oh, Papa doesn't always come in. I mean, he might be kept late at the office.
Yes.
Journalists are often kept late at the office.
Or sent somewhere. Manchester or somewhere.
Oh, never mind. If he comes in, he'll have his dinner, and if he don't, he won't. Oh, I'll soon get used to the family ways. I reckon I'll be here with you for a long time yet.
Oh, yes, Kate. Please. Perhaps this really will turn out to be home.
It just might. We'd best start by not being too sure.
Yes. Yes. It's safer.
In the first episode of The Fountain Overflows by Rebecca West, Phoebe Nichols played Rose, Anna Nye her mother, and William Nye her father. Yvonne Antrobus was Cordelia, Jill Lidston, Mary, Ellen McIntosh, Mrs. Weir, Moira Leslie, Jeannie, and Maggie McCarthy, Kate. Angela Thorne played Constance, Flora Page, Rosamond, Henry Stamper, Jock, and Rose as an adult was played by Margot Boyd. Fountain Overflows was adapted for radio by Joan O'Connor and directed by Margaret Wyndham.